From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with conductor George Stelluto and cellist Richard Herschel. Richard is a member of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra and will be performing Shostakovich's Cello Concerto No. 1 with the Peoria Symphony Orchestra at the Russian Masters Concert tomorrow night at the Peoria Civic Center. Richard, George, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Delighted to be here.
Now this concerto is recognized as one of the most difficult in the cello repertoire, and it starts out with a very dynamic theme. Can you kind of walk us through from the perspective of the soloist, the relationship between the cellist and the orchestra in this particular work?
Well, it's an interesting dialogue. The cello has sort of an iconic beginning, and the orchestra responds. It's sort of like a strong voice, and then there's chatter that responds from the woodwind section. And the voice continues to escalate in intensity, and the orchestra continues to respond with their chatter from the woodwinds. And it's very rhythmic, driving music, and it culminates in a very exciting way.
And so what is it about this concerto that makes it one of the more challenging pieces in the cello repertoire?
Well, it has technical difficulty. It is musically deep, and it also has an important historical context. The greatest cellist that ever lived was a cellist by the name of Mstislav Rostropovich, and he was a friend of the composer's, and the piece was written for him. And he had capacity that, to that point, had never been achieved before. And he wrote the piece with his friend in mind, and he made it really tough on all of the rest of us. But because it was written during the era of Stalin, Joseph Stalin, there's tremendous political content as a result. One always bears in mind that performing the piece, that there was enormous pressures on the composer and the dedicatee, and there's a lot to live up to in the learning and interpretation of the music.
And there's actually one aspect of this which is kind of autobiographical. So with the opening theme of the concerto that the cello plays, it actually spells out Shostakovich's initials. So right off the bat, he establishes the cello as the heroic character in the concerto, and then the orchestra is kind of the antagonist, if you will, provides other things. So it's got this really kind of subversive autobiographical context.
So you're saying that in the interplay between the cello and the orchestra, is Shostakovich using that as a metaphor for his own relations with the Soviet authorities of the time?
Yeah, very much so.
And I think that metaphor is made explicit, George, because it sounds like, as you're saying, Shostakovich literally signs or autographs the cello part by putting his own initials mm-hmm. to it. In case you missed the message the first time, he's almost highlighting the fact that he's the cello.
Yeah, and you hear it all the way through. And then I believe he takes a folk melody that was a favorite of Stalin's, and he completely distorts it during the concerto. So
kind of another little jab or inside joke
there. Yeah. They had to be very subversive and very clever not to get in trouble.
Richard, you're speaking very calmly about this, but I would describe the cello almost as having pyrotechnic level of difficulties in some of the passages when you hear them. Is there a certain amount of just physical preparation that you have to put into preparing this particular type of concerto?
Absolutely. It's taken quite a bit of stamina, and I've prepared for it for months, and I'm really excited to perform it on Saturday night.
Now, George, you had talked about these iconic themes in Shostakovich, both you and Richard. Now, you've paired this with Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony, which also opens with a very aggressive, iconic theme. Can you talk a little bit about that piece?
Yeah, this whole concert is interesting because, we open with this Glinka overture from Ruslan and Ludmilla, and that's from an era called the Fantastic Decade, and that was really the blossoming of a lot of Russian literature and intellectual thought, but that came under the oppression of the government and secret police, where literary figures were actually jailed for some of the things they wrote. And then you have Shostakovich, of course, which happened in the Soviet era under Stalin, and that was obviously a very thought-controlled, oppressive society for artists and people of any self-expression. And then you have this Tchaikovsky symphony, which is the late 19th century, still in kind of imperial Russia. But he was suffering from his own struggle with his homosexuality and his own, you know, struggle with that in relation to society and certainly in relation to the Russian Orthodox Church. And so that's it's a big problem. So in this symphony, he kind of gets, he's into a marriage that he got married and, of course, regretted it and, you know, was very depressed about the whole thing. And so the first movement opens with a fanfare, which is fantastic, but it's in F minor, which you don't usually hear a fanfare in F minor. And then, you know, it goes, it kind of calms down. And then the main theme of the first movement starts, which is in 9-8, which is usually a triple meter. But I kind of refer to it as a three-legged waltz. So what it is it's actually not 9-8 divided into three equal beats. It's a 3-4 plus a 3-8. So I like to call it a three-legged waltz because it's like you're dancing at your wedding reception. You realize it was a mistake. And your partner, every measure, has to pull you along to dance because you're kind of resistant or hesitant about it. But it's full of conflict. It's full of even Freudian kind of psychology that's going on there, where there's different levels of things going on all at the same time, which is the great power of music, to be able to express the many different kind of psychodramatic levels that we all experience. You know, we can be laughing while we're inwardly conflicted about something. So all that goes on in the first movement. And then you have these two beautiful inner movements, one of which is kind of a sad folk tune, and then the other one is a kind of more up. And then you have this suddenly this burst of celebration for the fourth movement, and that's when he got out of the marriage, of course. So he kind of overcame the depression, the serious depression. And so it's a wonderful piece in that way, and it's the first of the last three Tchaikovsky symphonies, and I kind of refer to those as the psychological symphonies because they are, much like Shostakovich, inwardly autobiographical, but at the same time wonderfully accessible and identifiable for audience members personally.
You said that this symphony is the first in a trio of more autobiographical symphonies. So how does this one compare to its later siblings? Where does it kind of sit in the bigger context of Tchaikovsky's symphonies?
For me, it's very much like the Sixth Symphony in that the opening movement is really the reality of the inner struggles and the inner, I mean, heroic struggles, almost life and death kind of inner struggles. And so in that sense, it's very much like the Sixth Symphony and also very much like the Sixth Symphony in the sense that the first movement's the reality. The inner movements are almost like a dream state, either a memory or something else. And then the last movement, it brings you back to the reality. Now, in the case of the Sixth Symphony, it ends very tragically. So it's not this big triumphant ending. And the middle symphony, the fifth, is very noble and heroic. And it's up, you know, it's in major and it's got lots to it ends very triumphantly, but it starts out in a kind of darker place. But it has a more noble quality. So that famous second movement of the Fifth Symphony has a kind of, you know, I'm suffering, but I'm suffering with dignity kind of approach to it. So in the Fifth Symphony, you get that first movement that's got a lot in it, and it's very, very dramatic. And then yet you get a second movement that's kind of more connected to the symphony in a way that the inner two movements of the fourth and the sixth are almost set apart from the outer reality of them.
Richard, I'm hoping you can tell us a little bit about the cello that you're going to be performing on Saturday evening.
Okay. Well, I feel very fortunate to have it to play on. I've only owned it for about 5 years. It was sort of a dream come true. It was made by a man who was sort of the father of string school, the string making school in Venice, Italy. He was the teacher of the greatest maker from that city, a man named Montagnana, and he's known as the mighty Venetian, but he was particularly known for his cellos. He was a great maker of cellos, and famously Pablo Casals played on a cello by this maker, Matteo Goffriller. So I always had a dream of owning one, And I had a cello that I had owned for many years, and it was being offered for sale in Chicago. And I went on tour, and we were in the city of London. And I opened the Times of London, and on the inside of the front page, they had a picture of a cello. And I thought, oh, my gosh, look at this. It's a beautiful Stradivari cello. And Stradivari is the king of instrument makers. They're by far the most valuable instruments that exist. And it was being auctioned, and that they had done a story about the cello, and it was owned by Amaryllis Fleming, who is the sister of Ian Fleming, the famous author of 007 stories. And so her cello was being sold, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I have to go see this Stradivari cello. So I did, and the dealer very kindly showed it to me, and I got to play it. And he said, you know, we have a cello by another great maker of cellos from the city of Rome, and it had a great Techler. And so, would you like to see that? And I said, oh, I'd love to see it. And so I played that, and he came back and said, well, what do you think of these cellos? I said, well, you know, they're wonderful, you know, but they're not really my voice. And he looked at me with a strange look on his face. He said, you know, really? That's all you have to say? And I said, well, really, the instruments that have always captured my imagination are Gewurztraumers. And he goes out of the room, and shortly thereafter, he walks through the door, and I said, oh, no. And my wife said, what? And I said, oh, that's a Gewurztraumer cello. And he said, yeah, why don't you try this? I said, no, I better not play that because I'll fall in love. And there's one flaw an instrument can have that brings the value down by half. And he said, you might be surprised by the price because it has that special flaw. I said, really? So suddenly I thought, well, then I will play that cello. And I just immediately fell in love with it. So I got back to Chicago, and by some stroke of incredible luck, my cello sold, and I was able to have a down payment on the cello of my dreams.
And so you're playing on the cello of your dreams.
I'm going to get to play on the cello of my dreams, yes.
And for people that maybe don't have a musician as a friend, they might not understand this unique relationship between an artist and their instrument that they have. But really, you're looking for an instrument through which you can tell so many different songs and stories, that they're a vast repertoire of musical history, and this cello enables you to do that, it sounds like.
Well, an instrument is sort of like a person. You know, they have their quirks, and it's not a perfect instrument. It certainly has its quirks. But there's some people that you can have a superficial conversation with, even though they're a wonderful person, and then there are other people with whom you can have a deep relationship, and that's just the nature of this instrument with me.
We've been talking with cellist Richard Herschel and with George Stelluto, conductor of the Peoria Symphony Orchestra. The PSO presents their next concert, Russian Masters, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in the Peoria Civic Center Theater. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you.
This Sunday, the Morton Community Chorus and Orchestra presents Handel's Messiah. Guest soloists include Natalie Schampf, Deborah Austin, Terry Chastain, and John Cook. Tickets are not required, though a free will offering will be taken. The performance will begin at 3 p.m. at Grace Church in Morton. For more information, please call 648-7729. Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.